I'm your host, Chris. You can find me online at Jazz Sequence on Twitter. I am joined today with my friends, Gary, who is a research scientist studying the effects of alcohol on insects, and also Allison, who is a social worker working with troubled youth struggling with an addiction to bubblegum. Welcome, Gary and Allison.
Thank you for having me.
I wish I'd remember my smoking jacket. I feel like this is like that kind of episode. A comfy chair and...
So...
and NPR voices.
Yeah, so I borrowed Erin's parents' car when they went out of town. And her dad has NPR on all the time. And I didn't want to change the station because I was afraid to like mess up with their thing. So I was listening to a lot of NPR.
Welcome back.
And then I realized after a week of listening to NPR that you have to have a certain cadence to be a host on a show on NPR.
I saw Ira Glass do a storytelling sort of thing, performance, and he definitely touched on that as far as like the dramatic pauses and then the music swells and like, and how it's, I mean, like in every, of course, you know, it's orchestrated and very finely tuned, but it's just like, I love the self-consciousness of, and the self-awareness that they know when the music should swell and they know when things need to fade, and Ira Glass pauses dramatically before that one question that he asks. I don't know.
Kind of jealous, Chris, like driving around in a car and whatnot. Here's my car story for the week. So Tuesday night, Rhonda went out with some friends. Tuesday night? Yeah, Tuesday night. And I was going to take the kids out to dinner because they got like a certificate from Panera for their report cards. So, okay, great. Let's go use your certificate. You can have, you know, a grilled cheese sandwich made somewhere else or something. I don't know. So we went and sat in the car. And as I buckled this one in the back, I sat down. Like, I wonder when the last time I drove this thing was. And I turned the key and it did nothing. And the answer was, it's been a doggone while. And there was no one around to jumpstart the car. Like, there was no other vehicle. I could go be to my neighbor's door. But then, like, do I really want to take this car to Panera and have to find someone to jump it to get home? So, kids, how do you feel about pizza? We went inside and ordered pizza. But I felt really bold. And then I put it on the battery in the charger. And yesterday, it's pretty awesome driving a car that starts the first time you turn the key. Really empowering. Oh, that's a pun too. That's a crappy pun, but it's a pun.
Empowering. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I drove it like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, like to the grocery store and stuff. I wasn't like driving all over.
Yeah. I think I put like 6 miles on yesterday.
Ooh, road trip.
Still feeling a little jet lagged.
Crossing.
We actually, so we did road trip. We were in North Carolina this past weekend.
Oh, that's a hearty road trip. That's more than 6 miles.
Yeah, a bit. 5 hours or so. It's cool.
Is it still and winter?
Yeah, well, it's winter here.
Yeah, so one night we were there, the first night we were there, it was in the 40s, and the second night it was below 30. And no lights, so I stood outside as long as I could tolerate looking at stars.
No, that's
fine. Until the floor of my eyes started to hurt. From the cold. So about like 8 minutes.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was, the stars were wonderful. Can we just start with the elephant in the room?
The elephant. El Chapo is going to prison today.
Oh, is that today?
I think so. It was in the newspaper.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, El Chapo.
For like 70 years, right?
Yeah,
70 years and 4 life sentences or something.
Is it? I thought it was sentence. But
It could be.
It could be.
I didn't pay that much attention.
Are you all getting echoes?
Yes.
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 If Allison is saying no, then it must be her.
It's me. Oh no, I'm sorry.
So, opportunity.
Oh, that elephant.
Yeah.
That's a small elephant.
Well, it's a very long-lived elephant, considering they didn't find it lasting more than a couple months.
So the mission control team is for Opportunity has been drawing down since the dust storm last summer. So I mean, like, it's not like a oh, is NASA going to pull the plug or anything today kind of deal for the folks that worked there yesterday. I just can't imagine, like, you know, there are people that made entire careers on that project.
Mm-hmm.
So. They're sweet for them, and boy, we need to get humans up there soon.
Well, Donald Trump wants them to go up there in 2020.
Really?
He said that. He asked. Yeah, there's a thing a while back that he talked
to. Does he know when 2020 is, though?
He talked to NASA officials, and he's like, is it possible to get humans on Mars by 2020? And they're like, no. And he's like,
like, alive?
What if I gave you like a ton of money, and they're like, still no.
We wouldn't have needed to have launched last. Oh no, I think in rotation we could get a 6 month run, but or six or seven. But when would that happen again? That happened last year, right? So I think our first opportunity to get a 6 month run again is like 2021 or 2022. I may be entirely wrong on that.
That's not what the show is all about.
That's true.
Same thing as being like, well, but it could be completely wrong what I just said. No, but I don't think it's for another year or two.
Yeah, it's certainly not 19 or 20.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe departure could be late 2020 with arrival in 2021, but that doesn't seem right to me. I feel like the last one we saw launch, maybe that is right. It was late 2017 or early 2018? Landed late 2018?
Also, if they're cutting funding and everything, then...
Right, exactly.
How is this even happening?
But also, do we have ships that could take them there and back?
No, it's a one-way trip at this point.
Right.
100%, yeah. There's no back. If you're going to Mars at this point, like expect to die there.
Yeah.
You're Ray Bradbury-ing. You're going.
Ships to get there, like, that's a great question. I mean, like, conceivably, you could use the capsules that exist, right? And we kind of know how humans do in space, you know, with, like, the International Space Station. And, like, could we pack enough for someone to survive that journey? I mean, the capsules exist. You could stick one person in there and get them to Mars. It's like you could get there on a technicality, right? But now you're screwed because now you're there. What are you going to do, you know? Sorry, we didn't pack the extra food. Yes. See if that crystal is open. I don't know. I mean...
Kool-Aid.
You know who would know the answer to this? Is it Randall Monroe, XKCD? Is that his first name, Randall?
No.
Maybe.
Yes, let's go with yes.
Yes.
The XKCD guy has a whole series on, like, answering silly questions like that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He had a great one, and, like, if I threw a baseball at the speed of light, what would happen? Would I be able, like, you know, and that was a great one.
Yeah, because doesn't it rip the planet apart?
Yeah, pretty much, like, you probably wouldn't be able to hit it because you wouldn't exist by the time it got, like, when it got to you. You would be, like, nothing but particles flying in every direction.
Yeah.
So, like, it might hit some of the bat. And in that case, like, by Major League Baseball rules, it would be like a foul tip. So you can make contact with it. But generally, you wouldn't be around to witness it. But if it happens so quick, you wouldn't know. I'm mixed bag. Wow. What a kickoff for this episode. Yikes. Yeah, I agree. The format is... we talk about something we know nothing about. Usually Allison brings it, but apparently today it's just showing up on its own.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe today's topic/topics. So let's just dive in.
Is it food related?
It's actually, you know what? I don't think there's one that's kind of food related.
Okay.
Anyway, but it's not nearly as heavy food wise.
It's not as divisive as the this or that last episode. Yeah.
Well, there's some this or that, but it's not a triangle. It's not brownie related or cutting sandwiches related. But it could, I mean, it could turn that way. I mean, who knows where the conversation will lead. So,
certainly not us.
Okay, so to start off, Mauna Kea versus Everest. Go.
Everest, I think, is more iconic. I don't know.
Mauna Kea? Is that in Hawaii? Obviously Everest, because I don't know.
Obviously.
I don't know the alternative. So with no other information, yeah, sure, we'll go with Everest.
All right. Okay. Mariana versus Aleutian.
Mariana.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Trenches.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. Just saying if you...
Yeah. Yeah, because James Cameron went to the bottom of the Marianas, right?
You're asking someone who I am not the foremost James Cameron fan or follower or biographer.
Shocking. Well, I only follow his work secondarily through like DiCaprio's relationship with him. So,
which actually, for any upcoming WordCamp talks, will you be inserting Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of my shtick. To the point now where I don't even like mention it. It's just he's there. He's prevalent.
Have a library of existing images. You don't actually have to search.
I've been using DeLorean Ipsum lately, exclusively for filler text. And so, you know, when I'm using that, obviously I need to have like Back to the Future images to go with the fake posts that I'm generating. I mean, obviously it would be silly not to. So, I've been amassing a collection of high resolution screen grabs and pictures from Back to the Future and Back to the Future promotional posters and such to couple with my DeLorean Ipsum posts to the amusement of my fellow coworkers.
I think that's a solid Ipsum though. Like,
yeah, it is pretty solid. You do need to be careful because occasionally there is a shit or a damn. I found a bastard and a bitch yesterday, so I needed to take care of those. But there's no F-bombs in the entire series. And even the few bits of profanity there are, it's usually sprinkled pretty lightly. So you can do pretty well with client facing stuff and sitting on top of a Back to the Future Ipsum.
Oh wow. So did you ever years ago I ran a forum and we tried to do like language filtering. Mm. But I didn't know what I was doing, right? So I just had like a set of strings that I would search for and replace. So like, and it was really like G-rated. So hell became New Jersey and shit became meatloaf. Whore became sleeper. So, and I had a buddy in college. I'm like, hey, can you test the system for me and see what I missed? Oh, and he found a lot. Like I got a frantic phone call from him. He's like, hey, are you anywhere near your computer? Because I can't delete this post, but it's awful.
Oh man.
Anyway, so meatloaf sleeper became a thing. But then everybody all the time was saying New Jersey-o instead of hello, which also was one that I still pull out from time to time.
New Jersey-o.
I'm trying to, I mean, it was a stupid amount of lines, and I don't know why I thought, like, I mean, I didn't know better. I just thought, oh, this is like a thing that I need to do. But
yeah, I've actually, so I occasionally contribute, usually just typos. I've been contributing fixes for typos in the DeLorean Ipsum GitHub. And the other day I filed a feature request suggesting a profanity filters or like a new component, a new toggle to have a profanity filter so that you can get like clean dialogue as opposed to stuff that's like the original text.
What's that?
It's JavaScript. So it's and it's basically it's written as so you can filter by character. So you can do like 5 paragraphs of doc. And it just pulls it from I think it just pulls it from the original series, the original movie, not the full trilogy. So you'd get 5 paragraphs of various lines from Doc Brown, or you can filter by Biff or whatever. And so there's basically an array that has the key is the character and the value is, you know, a line of dialogue. It's usually a complete line of dialogue. It's not just a sentence. Which means that so what we talked about is like maybe having like an array of words to look for, and then if the string has if the string of dialogue has that word in it, you just skip that and go to the next thing or something. But I feel like that might be too restrictive because there's a lot of lines that are longer than a single sentence, and you would miss out on like the rest of the line. So I feel like that might call for sort of a broader refactoring of like the overall way that the dialogue is.
What about just a G-rated string replace in those situations?
We could, like, I thought of that, but like, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would lose the feeling of Back to the Future, I feel like, you know? Like, I want it to still, I want it to still, I mean, feel like Back to the Future.
I get it, but you're using this placeholder text. I mean,
true. I know. I'm super purist about it. Like somebody filed an issue on their GitHub, and they're like, well, none of this is like in lines of dialogue. It should be like come out in lines of dialogue. I'm like, dude, if you want lines of dialogue, go find this script. That's not what this is.
I love that that's the issue filed. That's,
yeah.
I'm like, it's an issue, but like, it's more of a personal issue than the function of the thing.
It's really your issue.
I hear about APIs like this and I'm like, man, like what? I've missed the boat, obviously. Why am I not generating text for placeholder stuff?
Yeah, what I really want to do, like as I've been using it more, it does have an actual API that you can hook into. And so I've actually like been, I keep thinking about like writing a plugin that just like a WP CLI plugin or something that will, like when you generate posts, it generates Back to the Future posts. So it'll like, yeah, you know, you give it a bunch of images and it just pulls the text it sets an image as a featured image, and it sets a title as like one line or one sentence from a string. And yeah,
I don't think you would need a plugin for WP CLI to do it, though. I think you could pipe the input as appropriate, for what it's worth.
Well, I will need to look into it at some point when I have more spare time. Maybe it'll be a hack project.
Midnight and six.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do have our company retreat in a couple weeks, so maybe it'll be a hack project.
I love those company retreat hack projects. They're like the base for future neat ideas. Always fascinating what comes out of those.
I just want
a bunch of people
scholarship program that pays me to make various lorem ipsums and thoughts. And
my original goal a couple of years ago was to build a WordPress plugin that was the ipsum of all ipsums. That would hook into every other ipsum and give you a choice of which ipsum to generate. So like you could just do it from one thing as opposed to like having to go to and then it would be built directly into, you know, your back end so that you wouldn't have to go to some external thing and copy and paste.
That's the dream.
Yeah, the problem is that they all have different APIs. So you like, and some of them don't have
APIs. Oh, see, now I'm interested. If they have different APIs, like I'm on board with this. Like, yeah. I want to build the adapter.
Some of them don't have APIs at all. So
that's Balderdash.
It, yeah,
a web browser is an API. It's a crappy API, but it's an API.
Okay.
Yeah, she agrees. I say that because I had a project recently where they were like, we need to include content from like our old CMS, and they were like, you know, we can give it to you in this like crazy wacky XML format, but you need to do all this authentication. Started digging to it. I'm like, this stuff is pretty consistently named. We'll just yank it from like the existing site. And it works great. Thanks, James Cameron. That was a cool site. Cool meandering thing. Even better if he's like not into this.
He wasn't so distasteful because I'd probably take a lot more interest in his various like ocean exploits. And he just every once in a while he'll just come out and say something that's more absurd or critical of someone.
I can't say like that I even know like what he looks like. Like I think if he showed up like at a dinner party, like I don't know that I would know who he was, right?
You
I don't
know what dinner party would be going off the bat.
I mean, I'm sure that there's probably
some hello, I'm James.
clear markers, right? Yeah. Yeah, there would probably be something in the voice intonation that I'd go, oh, yeah, I know who you are. But like the whole, like the submarine thing, I think that, like I was super interested, it was years ago, and I'm pretty certain it was Marion Trench. I don't think he went, I'm trying to remember how deep he went. It was deep, but I mean, it was obviously not the bottom. Maybe he should have gone to the bottom. I think that the submarine would have collapsed.
Dropped
that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it would be harder for him to get out if it's collapsed and under 3 miles of water.
Uh-huh. So still okay. I could do with no more Avatar movies. It's fine.
Was there more than one?
There's going to be. They've been developing 2 and 3 for the last like 15 years.
I want in on that project. What's the deadline? I don't know. James is funding it, so you know him. He's 3 miles down the Mariana Trench in that tiny submarine. It whatever. Who knows when he'll come? When or if he'll come back? Anyway, like the whole thing was like this like tiny sub and the pressures it had to withstand and whatnot, and then it was like, oh yeah, and it's this Avatar guy. So that was my exposure to him. But he also, maybe I'm completely wrong on this. Is he Titanic or no?
Yes.
Okay, so that was Leonardo DiCaprio connection.
Yeah.
And US is at best.
There's got to be at least one Leonardo DiCaprio connection in every.
Did he do Aliens too? The first one?
Leonardo DiCaprio? Not a.
Not Leo.
It was not a Leo vehicle.
It would have been
a different movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like no. I feel like that was that other guy.
That other guy. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fair.
It's a safe bet for me to say.
Yeah.
It's actually driving me crazy that I'm not remembering his name, but it's okay.
Yeah, because there's another that whoever that guy is also did Prometheus like 2 or 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Which I also didn't watch.
Fairly well known.
Yeah, right. That other guy. The guy, you know.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Moving on from trenches, since there's no strong opinions.
I'm sorry, I'm trench illiterate.
Malamute versus Akita.
Akita.
Oh, Malamute.
Why?
Malamute.
Chris came out strong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Akita's
I knew awesome. Someone that had one once upon a time. I don't.
So my biological mother ran an Akita rescue and still runs an Akita rescue. And so I visited her a couple times when I was in high school and traveled to New Mexico to visit my grandparents, her parents in high school and met her Akitas. We talked about Akita. And Akitas are beautiful dogs. And yeah, I mean, she did like dog shows and stuff with them and like, Akitas are freaking awesome. Malamutes are just big and goofy, I think.
Yeah, I guess same. Like if I were at a dinner party with a Malamute, wouldn't know until we met. Like.
Firm handshake.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Have you met James? You two should talk.
You two should talk. Wow. Okay. Of all the dog breeds to pick, I was like, who knows if there'll be overlap? And there was. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Scottish Fold versus Russian Blue.
Russian Blue.
I'm not even sure what those refer to.
Cats.
Is it like a weight? Cats?
Cats.
Okay.
I say Russian Blue because I had one.
What?
Although she was freaking insane. I mean, she wasn't like purebred, I don't think, but she was definitely Russian Blue.
No, but how am I hitting on all, like,
I don't know.
There's like hundreds of dog breeds and cat breeds.
I don't know. I didn't have a Scottish Fold. I mean, they're.
But it was a way of like dealing with laundry.
Scottish Folds are adorable, and I would have liked one. Russian Blues are also beautiful, and she was insane, like legitimately insane. Like she would yell at things on the wall that didn't exist. She was pretty out there, and she got super intense when we had our first child. So much so that when Erin was pregnant again, we had to say goodbye to her because she was getting a little bit aggressive and mean and a little bit too
intense in the way of, yeah.
Intense in the way that would not be good with small children.
That's like, what is it? Was it Lady and the Tramp where the cats got a little too all up in everybody's business with the baby? Anyway,
I don't know.
Bring it back to Disney.
Yeah. That's one I am less familiar with.
They try to like, I don't remember. Anyway, they stage something and get in trouble and get thrown out.
Yeah. I mean, that's not always the case with all cats. It's not like a cat thing. It's not like you can just stereotype all cats and say all cats are bad around kids, but certain cats definitely. And there's also, I think, a difference if the cat was there before and sort of knew how things were before the kid came around.
Yeah.
And then it's noticing like the changes that are happening to the mother carrying the baby and the things that are happening around the house. They start getting a little bit, you know, weird. And then when the baby comes out and starts crying all the time, then they're like, what the hell is this thing? It needs to die.
They're like nature.
Not always, though. Not always. No. Obviously, that cat wouldn't give a crap.
That's not true.
This cat doesn't give a crap.
That cat would be like, what is that?
Okay. That cat's 16 years old.
Yeah, that cat lived through all your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. He's...
Yeah, and we have one that's been around for all of our kids, and she's never had... I mean, she's been, you know, really sweet with all of our kids. So depends on their personality. And that's what I like about cats. That's why I'm a cat person and not a dog person, is because they have such varied personalities.
Versus dogs, you find them more like, this is what you got.
They're pretty straightforward.
I think navigating dogs is easier.
Yeah, well, it is. It for sure is. I like the complexity of cats.
I said dog, and Charlotte walked over and started patting the dog's butt. This thing? Yep, that's the dog.
Yep, that one.
That's the dog. Okay, moving right along. Curium versus Terbium.
Terbium, obviously.
Those are like gems of some sort, or?
You tell me, Gary. But you've got to choose one.
Curium.
Why?
Because Chris said terbium.
That's the honest answer. The less honest answer is, I don't know. It seems...
Because it sounds like curious.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Because it rhymes with Marie... Because it maybe comes out of Marie Curie.
Maybe. If I did more research, I would probably know.
So what are they?
They're elements.
Elements. Yeah. Terbium.
But it's, I don't have a definitive answer on which one's better. Which one would win.
Which one has a higher weight?
I think terbium does.
Awesome.
100 and something?
I win.
They're both pretty high up there. Let me check. I can double check and get back to you.
Okay.
Now, let's see. Endor versus Tatooine.
This is a tough one. This is the first hard one. I'm going to go with
Endor.
I'm going to go with Tatooine.
Why?
Endor seems like it probably has some cold spells.
So you're bank, like you're deciding where to live in this situation?
But Tatooine is like a desert. Like the entire planet is a desert.
But he lives in Florida. Probably not very
cold. I'm going with Endor because it's got trees and weather that is not, you know, 100 degrees. It's not a desert. I live in a desert. But I'm not. I can live without a desert.
I think there's snowfall in Endor, and that concerns me. There's no snowfall.
Two suns.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but what happens when suns are on the other side of the planet?
It's nighttime. Just like what happens when one sun is on the other side of the planet.
there's gotta be a winter in Tatooine, because there's a winter in the desert, and the winter in the desert sucks. Believe me, I live in the desert. It sucks. You wouldn't want to live on Tatooine either. You're better off in Endor.
Yeah, and you know, the Jawas dressed like in some pretty heavy garments, so.
And Endor, like, you would have some Ewok friends.
I'm sure there's tropical areas of Endor.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like, what we know of Endor is the big jungle anyway.
Forests are pretty good. I don't think you're talking me into it. I think Tatooine's more my speed. At an Antachi station and pick up some power converters.
Wow. The ecosystem. I like that you both immediately went to, like, where you would be living.
I don't know what to be judging them on.
Like,
you're listing two planets from Star Wars, my assumption was I'm moving.
Yeah.
It's up for grabs. I just like that that's where you go. Like, okay, which one would I want to
do? Yeah, okay. I mean, whichever, right? Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. Han Solo versus Malcolm Reynolds.
Malcolm. Mal, for sure.
Wow.
I just watched Solo. I watched Solo while the fam was away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can definitively say Mal.
You didn't like Solo.
It was okay. I mean, it wasn't the best. It was decent. I also watched Infinity Wars, and that was awful. So Solo beat Infinity War by, like, a long, long mile. Yeah.
I think that people were looking for what, like, specific things in Solo. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I don't know that you
watch
can
watch it after this call.
I don't know that you can watch Solo and not expect those things. Like, that's the whole point of Solo, is that you have all of this knowledge of who this character is, and now you're getting the backstory. You're finally understanding, like, how he came to be what you know, and it's obviously not going to live up to your expectations because it's not going to be the thing that you think it is, you know? So I don't think you can have that movie and not have the baggage associated
with it. Did you not get chills when they showed the Falcon for the first time?
No.
Okay, well, all right. It was a good Star Wars movie. In like 3 days, because the first time I saw the Falcon, I missed the next 3 minutes, like, you know.
It was a good Star Wars movie. It was not like the best Star Wars movie. It was a good Star Wars movie.
I wouldn't argue it's the best one, but I mean, I think as far as like canon goes, it was super. I think my answer is Solo, obviously. I haven't said it yet. I think as far as canon goes, like, it was super important to visually establish this stuff that we all knew had happened, and it was wonderfully done.
I feel like a whimsical
Star Wars core kind of way.
So I also have a prejudice against Han Solo, which is that he's sexist. So
he is sexist.
So and Mal isn't. So I'm gonna go with Mal.
Wow. I feel it, yeah, okay.
I'm glad that didn't get debated either. Like, I'm glad that we can all just sit around and say, yeah, Han Solo's sexist. Yeah,
yeah, no, very true, very true.
And that's not something that, like, went away either. Like, and it's also something that can't go away, really, because it's
I want to go away in Solo. I mean, the character was already established. Like, right. There was a script written. The script was written. Like,
exactly. You're working with the material that you've got, so there's no way that you can get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just, and I like how, like, in Solo, he was just, like, really a lot more naive. Yeah, and that sort of gets stripped away. That's the whole thing in Solo.
Like unsculpted sexism.
Yes.
It's raw form, yeah, right, before it matured.
Should I continue, or do we have user?
We have a few questions. We could do a couple of questions, or at least one. Actually, these are all pretty good. The first one is from Randall.
Monroe?
No, Randolph. Sorry, Randolph.
Oh.
And Randolph, sorry, Randolph. I called you Randall. I misspoke.
Is it M with a PH or with an F?
An F.
Okay, so you only dropped one letter. Not like you dropped
it's two. True. It's true, but Randall would be completely different spelling regardless. Anyway.
I know, but I get it. Go ahead.
Randolph inquires, why are there half time zones? The answer to this question, Randolph, is because there are half people. And these half people need a place to live, and they need to collectively have a half time zone to support this half ecosystem in which they reside.
Oceanic drift.
I was going to say something to do with trenches, but yeah.
Excellent. Okay, we can put that into the archive. We've all answered that question to satisfaction, I believe. The last one, we're not going to do that because that's a little bit more challenging. So we're going to skip to Whisper in parentheses, not real name.
So wait, before you ask the question, was this like a request for how you announce the person? Like,
the name is The name is Whisper.
That Whisper is not the real. Okay.
That's Whisper, not real name.
I just want to make sure I established who we were
speaking. And it comes to us at notattelling.net. I hope that that's a real email address to someone. I would like to email notattelling.net and get some sort of response. Anyway, Whisper would like us to answer, what has more historical significance, shipwrecks or haunted castles?
Ooh.
Wow. Well, sadly, I will reply to this not at telling.com and someone else will get the answer. So, there's probably a lot more shipwrecks than haunted castles. Maybe not. Boy.
There's a lot of things that have sunk, yeah.
I think haunted castles are more accessible for people to visit.
I think that castles in general are probably have more historical significance. Like, if we're talking about historical significance, the haunted part is sort of like secondary. Like, castles in general, they have like legacies built around them, whereas shipwrecks, you're like, you know, a bunch of people at sea and then the ship sunk.
That's true, I guess, because the haunted part is like the bonus. The castle itself can also.
Right. The castle's a thing with significance.
Yeah. But shipwrecks could have a haunted element to them as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What if we throw out castles that are not haunted? So we only look at haunted castles in this context.
Still.
Does that decrease the value enough?
No, because there's already the historical significance of the castle itself. Because and like the duchy or the lord or whatever who lived in the castle and built it up from nothing and said, you know, like there's already a history associated with that. I feel like ships in general are going to have a shorter history because they're out at sea and they went for a couple things and eventually they sank. And maybe there's historical significance about how they sank, but like it's a ship that sank and lots of ships.
Castles are more preserved than ships.
Yes.
So there's a lot more historical value, I think, for haunted castles than shipwrecks.
Families.
There you go.
Wow. Happy. I'm glad we got to that.
Yeah, I was afraid of it being cut off.
Looking at the clock. Yeah, that's why I was trying to interrupt you. Wanted to get a word in edgewise.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.